All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
Dude, that's a hot number.
It's a great album, but that's got to stop.
Why? Nice. Well, then I guess this is Geek Stuff, No Fun, episode 26.
That's right. No fun.
I think we'll call this one Smack My Lynch Up.
Okay, explain.
All right, because since today we're using all of Prodigy songs from Fat of the Land.
Okay, so that's Smack My Bitch Up.
Right, Smack My Bitch Up, and bitch kind of sounds like Lynch.
Okay, and?
And we have Brian Lynch on the show today.
Ooh!
So we can kind of combine all those elements and come up with Smack My Lynch Up.
Okay, I'm there.
It's kind of crude and very Family Guy way of slamming something together.
Sure is.
Well, Family Guy a la South Park.
Right.
Way of putting things together, but... Right. I'm willing to go with it.
All right. I'm there.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Are you on board? Smack my lynch up.
I like it.
You know, speaking of getting smacked up and beaten up, how are you guys doing as far as bruises are concerned from our paintball extravaganza this past weekend?
I have but one bruise.
That's
I'd like
it?
To say. And all the time that we were playing, I only got shot twice. And one of them can't really count as a bruise.
Wow. Good for you.
That's right.
I got a couple of doozies. I got a real big one on my ribs.
Yeah, I saw that one.
It's the size of about three paintballs. It just spread. And it's green right now, so that's good.
It is pretty. It's a good one.
Yeah.
We do have to mention, though, that you were the attention of most of the action for at least two of the games.
Three.
In which you played. At three games?
Yeah, three games.
At least two. Where he was the president being... protected by two Secret Service agents where only head hits counted.
Yeah.
And you had to get hit in the head twice to be eliminated.
Hey, he's the bachelor.
Yeah, that's right.
As much as I'm usually against those games, I have to say I was one of the Secret Service agents and I took more hits to the body, that to the legs, to the arms, but we kept going and we got slaughtered by 17 other people, but it was still... a hell of a time.
Yes, it was Matt's bachelor party where we played paintball, and we did play a couple of games where Matt was the president, decked out in a nice big yellow X so we could identify him in the brush.
Yeah.
And he got to pick his Secret Service agents, two men who would try to escort him, and he chose Mr. Fantastic and Mr. Fantastic's brother, Mr. Fabulous.
It's true.
So... yeah. How'd that work out for you? How many of those games did you survive?
I did not survive any of them.
Right.
I did get shot a lot, but all in all, it was good fun.
Good.
And I took my beating like a man.
And speaking of taking a beating, Mr. Fantastic, you had a homework assignment.
I did.
Let's, for those of you that don't remember from last week, Mr. Fantastic did not know who ISIS was, even though she's mentioned in our show opener. Mr. Fantastic, no knowledge of who ISIS is.
Mm-hmm. He seems so thorough and complete about everything. Hearing her name over and over again, hearing us joke about almighty ISIS, you know, week in, week out. You think he'd take the time before last week to maybe do a little bit of research?
Of course, without getting too far off track, Mr. Fantastic not knowing who ISIS was kind of paled in comparison to the comments that I have been getting all week long about you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I've been
not knowing that Boba Fett.
Yeah, I know.
Was Jango Fett's clone.
You know, I was.
If one more person calls me up outraged, bamboozled,
the lines are ringing,
flabbergasted off the hook. Yeah. About you not knowing that Boba Fett is Jango Fett's clone and not his child.
You know, I knew it was really bad when Retailer X got a hold of me.
Oh yeah,
and was like, "How the hell did you not know?" And I don't have an excuse. I don't know.
You know, I'd hate to come to your defense on this, because sitting where you're sitting, you should know this, yes. And I know that you've seen the movies, probably. Yeah. And you probably should have picked that up. But they were some bad movies, and there were parts where I just completely zoned out. And the movie went on, and I wasn't paying attention at all. Now, you probably should have picked this up in some sort of expanded universe, or reading Toy Fair or Wizard or something somewhere. But they were bad to the point where I almost understand that maybe it just passed you
by. Well,
the
only excuse that I can have, and I don't really want to come up with one, but the only one that I could think of how it has eluded me was, the only time I really sat down and watched the movie and focused on the movie was at midnight, opening night, when the movie came out. After that, every other time it's been on television or the DVD's been on, it's been kind of a background thing where I'm doing something else or I'm looking at something else. And so my focus was not there. Again, I don't excuse myself, but that's the only logical explanation that I can come up with.
I just, I don't want to get too far off of Fantastic's case here, but you have to admit, Fantastic, maybe Fantastic may be a little young to appreciate this, but Boba Fett was the man. In them three movies when we came up, when we were growing up. Boba Fett was like that guy that was so cool in that second movie. You were like, oh, man, he is going to lay waste to somebody in the third movie. And they chicken shit out and killed him, which was fine. But then when you heard about Jango Fett and who is that and everything else, that's a kind of part of the movie that you would want to pay attention to.
All I got to say is Vader was cool at one time, too.
Good point. Good point.
Right. So let's move on with Mr. Fantastic and his report on ISIS.
And now, here's Mr. Fantastic with It's News to Him.
ISIS is a DC Comics superhero. She was originally the main character of The Secret of ISIS, a live-action Saturday morning television program that served as the second half of the Shazam ISIS Hour. The character appeared in several late 1970s DC Comics publications and was reimagined and reintroduced into the DC Universe in 2006 as a counterpart for the Shazam-derived character Black Adam. ISIS has roots in ancient Egyptian mythology. The Secrets of ISIS starred Joanna Cameron as Andrea Thomas, a high school science teacher who gains the ability to call upon the powers of the goddess Isis after finding an Egyptian amulet. 15 episodes of The Secrets of ISIS were produced. ISIS's first appearance in comics was in Shazam number 25 from September to October 1976. At this time, Mego released an ISIS action figure, which recently fetched $885.22 on eBay. She was later given her own TV tie-in book, which ran for 2 years, beginning in October of 76 and ending in January of 79. The superhero ISIS was reintroduced into the DC Universe in the weekly comic book 52. In this series, an Egyptian woman named
Andriana Tomaz, an homage to the Andrea Thomas character on the television program, is a refugee who is enslaved and brought to Black Adam as a gift from Intergang. DC Direct will soon release an updated version of Isis in 52 Wave 1.
I'm Mr. Fantastic, and that's news to me.
Very comprehensive reporting.
I'm proud of him. We're going to turn him into a geek yet.
But we all know the secret, don't we?
Yeah, well, it's okay.
He just went to Wikipedia.
Hey, Wikipedia is a good tool, and I don't knock it.
He cheated.
Nah. He was writing a research paper.
That's how I wrote all my papers in college.
Yeah. You just copied them off the internet?
Wikipedia. Of course, it was in its infancy at the time, so sure. They were very short papers.
Yeah, obviously. Well, that's good, Fantastic. I do you feel that in your research that you've learned something about the character of Isis?
I know who Isis is now, yes.
Good. And do you understand why we find the joke very humorous that's in our opening?
It's humorous that I didn't know, but it's interesting in that she is really hot. The actress who played her, I thought she was good looking.
See?
I saw the pics.
Good.
It's true.
And now all we have to do, Fantastic, is to get you to sit down and watch Free Enterprise.
And it'll be set.
And you'll get the joke entirely.
But before he watches Free Enterprise, why don't we talk about some of the news for this week?
All right, let's do that.
So according to The Hollywood Reporter, which I really have no faith in these days, it would seem, Weta Digital, Jesus, I can't speak, has picked up doing Silver Surfer for the second Fantastic Four film.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Getting around.
Yeah, well, you know what? And it renews my faith in the potential for the character because their stuff is fantastic.
Really?
What I didn't like about this little blurb that I had read was that they mentioned Doug Jones, as we know, did Ape Sapien for the Hellboy film.
Uh-huh.
Will be providing the movement and body language of the character, but the voice casting is still up in the air.
You're still feeling that that Steve Irwin thing, huh?
Yeah.
You get a little Australian now and again.
It happens. So the voice casting is still up in the air.
You know what that means? My prediction is true.
Which is?
It'll be the body, but not the voice of the Silver Surfer. I told you.
But I thought it was confirmed.
I thought your projection was going to be that Steve Irwin has come back in the form of Matt, somehow possessing him.
Are you possessed by Steve Irwin, Matt?
Yes, I'm the Croc Hunter. No.
Hi, ready to strike.
What was that, Matt?
Danger.
There's danger? Where? Where's the danger? Something's ready to strike, but I'm not sure exactly what Matt means.
Hi, ready to strike.
Is that a Steve Irwin action figure?
Yeah. So?
I just had to ask.
They really...
That's fantastic, cracking himself up.
I was going to rag on the quality of the audio coming out of Steve's back or chest, whichever that may be.
It is pretty rough.
He's telling you right now where you're at, Fantastic.
All right.
So what else is going on?
Can we move forward now? Are we done with Steve Irwin?
I think the spirit of Steve Irwin is in this studio today. I don't know what that means, but I'm a little scared to find out.
Great.
I'm going to sit little Steve right here.
Spread eagle.
Look at him. So apparently Dimension Films has acquired the rights to do OCT, Occult Crimes Task Force.
Ooh.
Which is a DC-based book. Is that correct?
No. It is an Image book.
It's an English book?
Image.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure it's Image.
Okay.
Does it say DC?
Well, no. To be honest with you, I've never read the book. I don't know. But I was reading about it, and it appears in Dimension picking up the rights. It looks like Rosario Dawson is going to be a part of the film, and it says she plays a Gotham police detective.
Yeah.
So I assumed they were talking about Gotham.
If you've ever seen pictures of OCT, the character is drawn as Rosario Dawson.
Oh.
And Rosario Dawson was part of the creative team behind the book.
Okay.
Which is very exciting. I actually got to talk to Rosario about all that stuff. You know, me and Rosario hanging in San Diego. That's right.
Yeah, chilling.
Me and her and her boyfriend, Jason Lewis.
That's hot. Not so much.
He's a nice fella, and she is a lovely, lovely person. Although, if she is listening to this, you owe me a hot dog. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. So,
but it's very exciting that they're going to make that into a movie.
So the Gotham that they reference is not Gotham. It's not DC's Gotham, not Batman Gotham.
No, New York, I suspect.
Okay. Just curious. I don't know.
It's not a DC book.
All right. I trust you.
I got something.
Do you?
Yeah. Next week on DVD, there's a couple of things that people might want to check out.
Okay.
Just quickly going over your geek releases for next week. X-3, X-Men 3, X-Men The Last Stand, whatever you call it, coming out next week in a collector's edition that comes with a comic book, an original piece written for this set by Stan Lee. Comes in a full-frame version, which I'm sure they will sell thousands of.
I'm sure.
No. And a widescreen version, obviously. Also coming out next week, Disney is opening the vault.
Ooh.
Is anyone else sick to death of this Disney vault concept?
You know what? I understand why Disney does it. I don't necessarily like it, but I understand why they do it.
Well, it's stupid.
I think it makes sense, actually, for them.
No, it doesn't.
From a marketing standpoint, nothing ever gets old. It constantly creates a market for products that are some 30, 40 years old.
Well, not 30 or 40 years old is The Little Mermaid.
Right.
Not nearly 30. Which is being released from the vault next week, coincidentally with a preview of Little Mermaid 3 on the disc.
Ooh, of course. Little Mermaid 2 was such a hit.
I know.
I didn't even know there was a 2.
It was a direct to DVD.
And there were so many unanswered questions that they had to do a 3.
Does she come back from the dead?
I don't know. Does she die?
I don't know.
Oh.
We'll have to see 3 to find out.
Well, did you ever see the first one?
Yeah.
Of course you did.
She ended up in a tuna can in a ShopRite somewhere.
Ew. Also, something people might want to check out is Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, the unrated edition.
Wow.
This is Guy Ritchie's first film, and it is hysterically funny.
That is a great, great movie.
I know, and it's an unrated version. And also coming out next week, which is something very exciting for us,
mm-hmm.
is The Greatest American Hero, The Complete Series Limited Edition.
Now, the DVD that was released already, was it a complete series or
no,
was it individual series?
They released
seasons.
Series. Yeah, they released seasons. Now what they've done is they have I think this is just great. And considering the fact that this is by no means any kind of huge TV show or anything,
right.
The fact that they've done this treatment to it says a lot about its fan following. And I suppose they must have been going off of DVD sales to do this, but I don't understand why do it now when the seasons have already been released. But it's the complete series, comes in a deluxe tin.
Mm-hmm.
With very a cape. Nice. It does. It comes with a full-size cape, 13 DVDs that include all 43 episodes of the show. You get an iron-on transfer logo, because those are very popular when this show was on.
Sure was.
And a replica of the suit instruction manual that has working lights. So if you remember the show, there was an instruction manual. It lit up and did crazy things. And then this comes with a replica that lights up much like the one on the TV show. Probably just like the one on the TV show, because back then that was probably a very expensive prop. And now it's nickel and dime shit.
Right.
So I think it's very excited. It's a limited. It's limited to only 20,000 numbered copies.
Wow. That's actually really low.
It is really low. And I'm going to make sure and get one. I'm going to at least try very hard to get one next week so that
Triple B should be able to help you out with that.
Oh, Triple B is making his appearance, his first appearance on the show, his debut on the show next week.
Excellent.
Triple B. Yes, Triple B should be able to help me with that. That being said, I'm looking forward to it. I'm very excited. I think the show is kind of quirky, but it's very good. Yes.
So this cape, I have to know, it comes in the package, right? It's not like part of the packaging or anything like that?
No, it comes in the package.
Because I got to just make a quick comment about DVD special edition packaging, right? I think it's really getting kind of silly and ridiculous. You know, it started with, or at least the first time I noticed it, was really with Northern Exposure. When season one of Northern Exposure first came out on DVD, the box was like a little parker. Like a little, Arctic parka.
Was it yellow?
Orange.
Orange was the yellow one was season two. And then season three, they stopped it. Now, with the My Name Is Earl special edition box set that just came out a few weeks ago, it comes wrapped in a flannel shirt. And now, just this past week, Grease came out, a special edition DVD.
Hair
and
gel.
It comes in a
leather
T-Birds jacket.
Actually, I got to pick that one up.
It's really getting kind of ridiculous.
You know, I'm really out of this, and I thought that the Severance package version of The Office was a season one and two.
One
right?
and two, yeah.
I thought that was a little much, and this is tame compared to those.
Yeah.
There have been other crazy ones,
oh,
too.
Oh, sure.
Like the Planet of the Apes they just released last month was in a giant Cornelius head or I don't know, one monkey head.
Yeah.
It's definitely getting out of hand. But this, Matt, I got to say, is really sleek and nice. It all comes in a beautiful black metal tin, much like Akira. The release of Akira came in a metal tin like this. Also, Voltron.
Right.
They've started to release seasons of that, and they're coming in tins as well. Tins seem to be very popular. First people I remember using tins like this was, believe it or not, bringing it kind of backward a little, was Walt Disney.
Yes.
Walt Disney, I think, was the first one to use tin casing when they released the entire Davy Crockett run and some of their other vault material.
Yeah, sure.
They released in tin packages.
The complete Donald, the complete Mickey, the complete Goofy, that kind of
stuff. Stuff like that. Yeah.
The tins I don't mind so much. It's these mini clothing packagings that are really starting to bother me.
Doesn't it disturb the rest of your discs that are on the shelf? Like, can't you
fit the
tin in there the right way?
Well, you keep them separate.
Yeah, but then it becomes like you have, you know, a nice, neat row of all the DVDs that you have, and then this pile of things over here that also represent DVDs. That's the problem that I find.
Have you seen my collection?
Well, yeah, but let's talk about a normal person here who's attempting to collect at a normal level.
Oh.
So, Transformer World 2005. It's a TW World 2005,
I believe.
Oh, wait a minute.
Hold on.
Transformer.
Movie!
Matt's losing his mind.
Thanks. I hate that thing.
Why?
I really do.
What does this have to do with the movie?
Well, actually, they released, there was a leaked image of Jazz, I believe it was, who was originally voiced by Scatman Crothers. And it's the same kind of leaked image that they had of all the other ones, Prime and Ratchet. And when they did them, they're not actual images. They're like sketches and concept design kind of images. I'm a little disturbed by it, to be honest with you. I think it's kind of like anime mech style.
A little Marvel news from the comic world. Because of the delay between Civil War number 4 and 5, Marvel is pushing a book out called Civil War Choosing Sides as an October one-shot, which is basically four stories about how other characters in the Marvel Universe are dealing with or deciding on their participation in Civil War.
And which characters are these?
I'll get there, Fantastic. Can I set up the rest of the thing before I...
I knew he was going to get like that.
Holy shit. Will you relax?
I'm getting
the
anxious
beer
here.
Talking. The four stories, of course, will serve as lead-ins to upcoming books.
Okay.
Right? So what this basically is an advertisement, a one-issue advertisement for four books that are coming out in the future. Hold on to your hats, kids.
I'm holding.
Oh, no, you're not. Ant-Man by Robert Kirkman and Phil Hester. Now, Phil Hester art on anything makes something worth reading. And from what I hear about this Ant-Man story, or the way they're going to play this Ant-Man, might be a good book. So I'm interested to see where they're going to go with this little lead-in. All right, so far, I'm one quarter of the way to buying this book. Iron Fist by Matt Fraction and David Aja.
Okay.
I don't know either of those creators. I'm not really big into Iron Fist, although it seems like they're trying to pump him up a little bit and get him back into his own book and so on and so forth, but I don't know. I'm gonna have to go a big no on that one. So now I'm a quarter out. Quarter in, quarter out. Then we also have Venom by Mark Guggenheim and Lanil Yu. Now, Lanil Yu is a very good artist. I don't have a lot of interest in the character of Venom, and I do not know who Mark Guggenheim is.
You know, I like the character of Venom, but I think with the exception of one miniseries that he's had, which was that very first Venom miniseries that came out back in the day, they've all just been awful. And they've led to some awful, like, shitty side characters, in my personal opinion. All those little Carnages running around. Not Carnage himself. Carnage, good. But, like, the female Carnages,
the symbiotes,
and the blue and the pink and the green and the yellow. Yeah. Fucking hated them, man.
They did
hated
toys.
Them.
They did toys of those, remember?
Oh, it's a
in
shame.
The Hulk, in the Venom line.
Yeah,
his
I know.
Own line. Oh, I could have picked those up at the last show for like $2 a piece, and even I said no.
Should have just melted them.
And I don't own them.
Just, goo.
I kind of, wow, in retrospect, I probably should have got them.
What a mistake.
And the big one, which ties into something that we actually talked about last week, would be the character of U.S. Agent by Mike Oeming and Scott Collins.
Huh.
Right.
That's very interesting.
Those of you might remember we talked last week about Mike Oeming and I think it's Scott Collins. Mike Oeming, at least.
Yeah.
About Mike Oeming's new book, Omega Flight, where the piece of mysterious art had a very familiar shield on it and a character who looked a lot like Captain America, who I'm guessing from this is not Captain America at all, but is rather U.S. Agent.
So it sounds like this is, or Omega Flight is going to be as a launching point from that.
This will be a lead in to that. So that kind of is very interesting. So I'm split on buying the book or not buying the book. Marvel, of course, would love us all to buy this book and be interested enough to then go in and read other books.
Well, that sounds like you're at least 50 in, so.
Well, that's good.
I'm slightly offended.
Marvel executive editor Tom Brevoort. I never know if I'm saying that right. Brevoort. Tom B. says that, has a very, very funny line here. He says, it'll definitely be an in-continuity Marvel Universe story. Right.
Like,
well, which continuity is it going to be in, Tom B? Don't get me started.
Don't get started.
Oh, I'm sorry. And I don't know how I could have forgot this. There's actually a fifth story in the book. I forgot. And that one features Howard the Duck.
Nice!
Courtesy of Ty Templeton.
Yes! Love the Duck.
It concerns what happens when the registration bandwagon hits Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Yuck.
I just, you know, and they're using the gap in between 4 and 5 as an excuse to get this out really quickly.
Ugh.
Whatever. Marvel's just so lost. Nothing's going to change.
Whatever.
And you know what? While we're on the topic of Marvel, let's just say World War Hulk that we talked about 2 weeks ago, actually happening.
Yeah, I know. I know. I've gotten confirmation as well.
I can tell you this much. World War Hulk, major storyline, announced by Joe Quesada, will be Marvel's big summer blockbuster event for 2007. The story is something to do with the events of Civil War, written by some cat named Greg Pak and illustrated by John Romita Jr. Well, so it at least has, art-wise, it at least got something going on. Because John Jr. is incredible.
He sure is.
Are John we aware Jr. of the status of the Hulk now in the Civil War storyline?
The Hulk is flat out disappeared and is in his own storyline now called Planet Hulk.
Right.
He has nothing to do whatsoever with Civil War.
So any speculation as to what the new book, what's it called again?
World War Hulk? The speculation that I've heard is that Hulk comes back to the Marvel Universe post-Civil War continuity, and this is his reaction to what's taken place while he was away.
Yeah.
God, that sounds boring.
It certainly does.
It's.
What is the Hulk's reaction going to be to anything?
Bruh!
That was, why don't you say something about Matt's impression of the Hulk?
That was overkill, Matt. Sorry.
See? See? You think anybody can just do stuff around here?
No.
But speaking of things that people can do in neat little tidbits. Did you guys check out the Muppets Matrix video that's been popping up online the past week?
Yeah, a couple days.
It was cute.
I liked it. You know, I'm a fan of the Muppets. I even liked the new Muppet Show when it came back, which I know to some people is like blasphemous. And Muppets in Space is personally my favorite Muppet movie because of Pepe. I did not see The Muppet Wizard of Oz, although I thought it was awful, or I heard it was awful, I should say. But again, Pepe was Toto, so I really want to see it. But anything Muppets, I'm a fan of. And there's been speculation that there's more Muppet stuff coming in the future, but I thought it was funny. I thought it was cute, and I thought the people did a really good job with it, actually.
You can't fault that new Muppet show. We got Pepe from there.
I know. I love that new Muppet show.
He's like the greatest Muppet ever.
He is.
Ever.
But if you go to YouTube or any other video, online video source, you can find it. It's pretty much a couple of guys took the original Matrix trailer and redid it with CG Muppets. Kermit as Neo, Ralph as Morpheus, Piggy as Trinity, then Gonzo as Agent Smith, Rizzo the Rat as Joe Pants' character. I'm trying to think who else was in there. I think Beaker and Honeydew were a couple other agents. Yeah. And it was funny. I thought it was cute. I liked it. So check it out. There's a lot of great little videos floating out there. So this is just one of many. That's all I got.
I think that may be all I have too.
All right. Why don't we take a little break?
It's quite a chunky news segment there.
Well, we had a lot to cover. A lot of little things.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
It's true. Well, it's that time of year, you know.
I know. We're going to start getting into Christmas toy releases. We're going to get swamped.
And then quickly followed by Toy Fair in February.
We have disturbing news out of DC Direct, and I'm just going to tease it for right now.
Okay.
Very disturbing news.
Okay.
And hopefully we'll get some answers from the top in the next couple of weeks.
Jesse Falcon going over to DC?
Wow. That would be earth-shattering news. This is merely disturbing.
Oh, goody.
That would be suicide-worthy news. Hey, Matt, have you checked out the Action Figure Network?
You mean MySpace for geeks?
Is that what this thing is?
Pretty much. ActionFigureCollectors.com has set up its very own networking system for geeks around the world.
Well, can we have our own page there?
Big Kev's Geek Stuff already has an Action Figure Network page. If you go to ActionFigureCollectors.com, click on the Action Figure Network link, and do a search for us, you'll find us there.
Can I get my own page to show off my own collection?
You certainly can, Big Kev.
Well, what else can we do there?
The Action Figure Network will allow you to post pictures, blogs, comments, bulletins, and pretty much anything else you'd want to get in touch with the other people out there just like you.
Kind of just like MySpace.
Exactly like MySpace for geeks.
Hey, this is Yvonne Craig, TV's Batgirl. and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Hello?
Ryan Lynch.
Yes, sir.
You are on Big Kev Geek Stuff.
No way.
Way?
This is a dream come true.
I doubt it.
I listen to you guys every week while I'm writing. Actually, whenever I have an update, I usually listen to it before anyone else.
Really?
Nice. You're an inspiration.
You're a liar, but you're...
Call my bluff. Ask me about the show.
All right. Let's see. Should we quiz him about the show? What's the producer's name?
Mr. Fantastic.
Oh,
wow. Quick.
Very quick.
Uh-huh. That's correct. Uh-huh.
We have a fella who does rants now and again. What's his name?
See, I want to say Retailer X, but that's not the rant guy, is it?
No,
I don't know then.
Oh. Ooh.
I the forget answer, his name.
The Angry answer would Dan. Be
Angry Dan.
Oh, I don't like him. He's so angry.
It's true.
I love you guys. You guys put on a really entertaining show.
Thank you.
You really do, and I look forward to it whenever it updates on my iTunes, and I listen to it immediately.
Yes, we look forward to it updating also.
My favorite moment is whenever Matt disagrees with you, his voice goes up a little in the beginning of his sentence, so you know he's about to disagree.
Well, he has a little it's a little African-American in his background.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, his voice goes up?
That's what he says. I don't know.
Not really a stereotype. For voice going up, it's more like, you know, big dick and that kind of thing, but voice going up, in case that you just make them nervous.
Brian, we have to we need to warn you about something. We're having a little problem in the studio tonight.
What is it?
It's we think the studio is haunted by the ghost of Steve Irwin.
That's horrible. That's not even funny.
Hey, I don't think it's funny either, but I think he's here.
Wow, I just don't know what to say. I prefer the Matt, you know, being black thing better. It's a little funnier.
Wow.
Wow. I don't know you have such a soft spot for Steve Irwin.
I don't. I was just kidding. I'm not even quite sure who Steve Irwin is, but I want to say that I just saw a trailer for... I'm just kidding. I just saw a trailer for Screech's porn video online.
Oh.
What?
It's Screech pretty impressive.
Screech did porn?
Yeah, well, evidently Screech accidentally leaked a sex tape he made. Accidentally, when he needs money the most, and it's now being—it's going to be sold online.
Wait, someone slept with Screech?
Yeah, Screech has a girlfriend, according to Screech.
So, Brian, what are you up to?
Currently, I'm working on a treatment for a movie for DreamWorks. That's exactly what I was doing right when you called.
Cool.
Yeah, I can't tell you what it is, but it's super awesome.
Oh, that's great.
And when it comes out, you guys will probably talk about the figures for it over and over.
Ooh, so there may be toys associated.
If there's not toys associated with this, DreamWorks is doing something very, very wrong.
All right.
I'll tell you what it is when we're off the air, and you'll be like, oh, my God, Brian, I had no idea.
Okay, wait, why don't you pause it, and you can tell us off the air. Oh, really?
Nice. Yes.
Oh, they'll definitely be toys. I am really impressed.
That's awesome.
See?
Man.
See, it's pretty exciting.
I can't even... Wow. That's going to be very interesting.
I hope so. It's pretty funny. You guys will like it.
I'm very excited. Matt picked up your new book today.
I did. I picked up Spike Asylum, issue 1.
Matt, did you read it?
I did. I actually read it before the show tonight.
What'd you think?
I liked it. You know, I'm a fan of Spike in general,
uh-huh.
So it's great to see the character. But I particularly love the fact that he still takes shit from no one.
Yeah.
That really comes through. I think that was really great.
I think the best thing about writing a Spike solo story is in the other things he's been in, you know, he's got the do-gooder next to him,
mm-hmm.
who's always telling him what to do, and he's kind of a sidekick. And in this one, it's kind of cool because he can kind of get dirty, and he does big time as the series goes on.
Awesome. I can't wait.
Thanks, man. Thank you for reading it. I appreciate it. No problem. Thank you, Kev. Thanks, Kev, for not reading it.
Hey, you know, I can't do everything.
All right, whatever.
I got a show prep. I gotta get on the phone with some sort of priest to get Steve Irwin out of here.
Who played the priest? Which of you guys did the wacky voice?
What? No, no. There was no wacky voice.
Kev does all the wacky voices.
Oh, really?
Well, your voice, though, does go awfully high, Matt.
I was hoping
when I asked you what you thought of it, you'd be like, I don't know. I liked it. And then I know you didn't.
Now you made him self-conscious about it. He'll never do it again.
Well, I mean, it's good for everyone, I think.
I think so, too.
Did Mr. Fantastic read my comic?
Mr. Fantastic, we have trouble getting Mr. Fantastic to read anything.
Oh. Did he get the Gotham by Gaslight figure?
Oh, he does know his stuff. All right, let's have a Gotham by Gaslight update. Mr. Fantastic, have you purchased the Gotham by Gaslight Batman?
Negative.
And what's your excuse this week?
I never even went to the store. That's not much of an excuse.
He really lights up the show. That was great.
Yeah, ooh. He brings the funny.
So the Fantastic, that's ironic that you call him that.
He looks exactly like him. That's why we call him it. We actually have a little Mr. Fantastic here in the studio.
Which version does he look like?
The movie version.
The movie version.
I didn't like the movie. Did you guys like it? I don't think he did.
No, and I'm surprised that there's a sequel. Did you work on that one, Lynch?
No, I didn't. I did not. I have not touched a superhero movie, I don't think. Although I had a meeting over the phone, just like this, but not as fun, with one of the heads of Fox about something else. And at the very end, he said, is there anything else you want or anything I can do? And I said, yeah, you can let me write X-Men 4. And he laughed nervously, like he thought I was serious. And he said, well, what would your ideas be? And I said, well, pretty much keeping Ratner away and seeing what Whedon has in mind. And he did not like that. It was a really good meeting up until that point. So, why is it so quiet? I thought that was a hilarious story.
It was a hilarious story.
We're trying to see where to go with it.
Yeah. So we checked out a couple of shorts from Angry Naked Pat tonight too, Brian.
You guys are good. What'd you watch?
We watched the Hitler ones.
The Hitler ones.
What'd you think?
They were interesting.
Interesting? God.
Come on.
No, they were funny.
Kev, so you give it like a C+?
No, I'm definitely more like a B-.
That's Kev, great.
Kev wow. particularly liked the scene on the train.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
That was like Brady Bunch time, right?
Exactly. Thanks.
See, I told you. I didn't.
So you want more Brady Bunch humor in the upcoming Pat cartoons?
No. I think they're neat. I want to watch the rest of them.
They're neat. Can I put that on a DVD box if it ever comes out?
Sure. If it ever comes out, I'll be happy to give you a quote that's better than neat.
They're neat. B-, Big Kev. Perfect.
Wow.
I haven't watched it, Mr. Fantastic.
Would perhaps maybe you'd like to do some angry rants for us, Brian?
About us.
I'm totally kidding. I'm just having you on.
So you know what else I thought was really interesting, and I still would like to see it happen, is what you told me and what I've heard about your Muppet movie.
Oh, well, what did I tell you? Because I could have been completely lying. I said it was really great, right?
Yes. And I doubt that, with all due respect, I doubt that part was a lie, because you are a very funny dude.
Thank you. I mean, it would at least be a B- in Entertainment Weekly or Big Kegs stuff.
Big Kegs,
criticalboys.com.
No, we're going to have a big keg after the show tonight, I think.
Fine, I made a mistake. Jeez.
Much higher rating than a B-. Anything Muppet is good, and I'd love to see your comedic work on that.
Well, if you want, I can send you guys a script. You guys can read it up and down.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, we'd love it. Is there any possibility that they might consider doing it?
You know what? It was back when Henson was with Columbia, they bought it. And now that Disney has bought the Muppets outright, I had a meeting with them, and they really liked the script, but I don't think it's where they want to go. They want to do it more kiddie-oriented, and mine was keeping more in line with like the older ones, which is like everybody can find something funny.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a shame, too, because I think the kiddie Muppet films didn't work as well as the broad-spectrum ones did.
Oh, I agree. I agree completely. Like, I think the first two Muppet movies are pretty much classics. Just they're funny straight through, and the other ones are kind of, like, sanitized. And I tried to get away from that.
You didn't like Muppets from Space?
I liked it. I mean, I don't like it in the sense that that's the movie that killed mine, because it didn't do well, right. So they didn't make another one. But I mean, I actually did like it because at least they were playing themselves in that movie.
Right.
they weren't playing Treasure Island characters or Christmas Carol characters, but, you know, it was good. I just, you know, and that was kind of, they attempted to do adult humor. It just wasn't funny.
Cool.
As funny as I would have liked, I guess. But I did like it. I must say I did like it.
Well, you have to love Pepe. I mean, come on.
Pepe's great. And when I wrote the script, when I wrote mine, he wasn't in it because I didn't really know him all that well. I just, from Muppets Tonight, I'd seen him a couple times. And when I saw Muppets from Space, I gave him one of the leads. So,
nice.
It was pretty cool. It was good. I think, yeah, I think it would. I think everyone really liked it. And I don't know if it'll get made. But I used a lot of the jokes from other stuff that I've done. So,
do you have any other projects that you can discuss with us, Brian?
I could be general. How's that?
Okay.
I sold a hour-long kind of horror comedy, a little like kind of, but mostly horror show to the CW recently.
Okay.
And that'll have action figures. And it's very much inspired by, like, you know, Whedon stuff. Joss Whedon, by the way, I'm referring to. And that, I don't know, I'm working on that now, too. Working on that at the same time as I'm working on the movie for DreamWorks, and they couldn't be more opposite, so it's kind of making me a little nuts.
Wow.
But, yeah, I got 4 more issues of Spike Asylum coming out, and then I think Franco, the artist, and I are doing another 5-issue series with Spike and a couple other characters that people like right after that.
Very awesome.
You need to do, Brian, you need to do a Willow miniseries.
Well, Dark Horse owns that. I don't think they want anything to do with me. But
oh, is that right?
Yeah. There is a subtle reference to Willow in, I think, Spike Asylum 3 that Fox, actually, I don't even know if they knew it was one, but it's pretty good. I think you guys will like it.
So
guys like Willow? Well, every guy really likes Willow.
Well, it's Allison Hannigan.
I don't want to say, I don't want to say that I, you know, I'm obsessed with the character or anything, but I do have every single toy ever made of her. I'm not saying it's healthy. I'm not saying it's a lifestyle that you want to choose.
Why do you think Willow is so popular, over Cordelia, say? Do you think it's because she's kind of, like, dorky, like the Buffy fan base is? Or I don't get it. Like, she's approachable?
There's a lot about her, I think, that's more attractive than some of the other characters on the show. For example, she seems like a real person.
Right.
You know, like a goofy, kind of smart chick. That's what they're like. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
okay.
she's not so beautiful as to be unapproachable, but mm-hmm. she's really good look. I think Allison Hannigan is a really good looking girl.
Okay.
So I think that's got to be part of it.
But she is a lesbian, so you can approach her, but you wouldn't get anywhere with her.
Well, my friend, she wasn't always a lesbian. I would dare argue with you, Brian, that she just needs a good deep dicking.
Oh my God.
That's all I'm saying.
That would be my Willow one-shot for Dark Horse.
So
Willow deep dicking.
I don't get it. IDW owns some of has the rights to do some of the characters, and Dark Horse has the rights to do other characters?
Yeah, Dark Horse owns everybody that was in Buffy, I believe, and IDW has the rights to everybody that was on Angel during the last season.
Okay.
Like the whole, so Spike came over last season, that's why
right.
IDW has him.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm sure if Joss Whedon wanted to use Spike in the upcoming series, he could. He can do whatever he wants, but... But I think if there's a Spike series, it's got to be IDW. But Willow is over with Buffy.
Joss is going to use Spike in his upcoming Runaways run for Marvel?
I hope so. I just read all the Runaways over the last 2 weeks. Do you guys like that series?
Yeah, no, not really.
I liked it a lot when it first started, and it kind of lost me. I couldn't tell you what issue number now, but it kind of lost my interest, and I really stopped picking it up.
Okay. I enjoy it. I thought you guys didn't get too far into it, so I guess I can't mention plot lines or anything, because you'd be like, yeah, that's great, but I have no idea. But it was good. Yeah, I mean, there's good parts to it. They brought Cloak and Dagger back.
I think it's an interesting idea to have Joss write it.
Right.
Because...
Well, they reference Buffy stuff, too, like all throughout it, which is pretty kind of cool that he's doing it now.
Right.
I'd like to see him on Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Although a Spider-Man movie written and directed by him, sure. Okay.
I mean,
if you want to go down that line, we'll do that.
Instead of Wonder Woman, you mean?
Yeah. Well, are you guys looking forward to Wonder Woman at all?
One of us is.
No. Look, let's be honest.
One of us has Wonder Woman news every week.
Let's forget the Runaways. Let's forget Wonder Woman. Let's not pretend Spider-Man's going to happen. Let's just go back to Serenity.
Yeah,
and
amen.
And Firefly.
Are you a fan of Firefly?
Yeah, I love it. But
we are
what do you
huge
mean?
Fans of Firefly, and we don't understand... why all these other things are happening, but Firefly isn't.
Well, I think because everybody that wanted to see Firefly saw it before it came out. Or Serenity, actually, saw it way before it came out.
Well, yeah, I mean, but why are we not getting more, you know, Firefly on Sci-Fi? Somebody picking that series up and running with it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the budget's too high. I'm not sure. I could ask.
This is the Star Trek of this generation, I feel.
Okay.
All right, so you got the TV show thing happening with the CW. You got the movie that we can't talk about. Is that a singular movie, or will that be a series of movies?
I'm sure if it does well, it'll be a trilogy. But for now, it's just a single movie.
And you're writing this?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow, I'm very proud of you, Brian, as my friend.
I'm very excited.
Thank you.
You got Spike, Asylum, five issues, and then probably another series after that with Spike.
Unless everybody hates Spike Asylum, so...
I don't think everyone's going to hate it.
Oh, I think everyone's going to love it. I think it's going to be bigger than Ultimate Spider-Man.
Everybody should go out and buy issue one of Spike Asylum. It's really a good read.
This is true. And,
is this the wrap-up?
Is this the wrap-up? No, that's at the end of the show.
Okay, because I want to sit in on the action figure talk.
It's all about you right now.
I want to talk about Marvel Legends.
Okay, we can talk about Marvel Legends.
Go for it.
You're a listener to the show, so you know how we feel about Marvel Legends.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you don't like any of the upcoming Marvel Legends, especially. Because a new person has taken it over, a new company, and you are not happy about their selection or the look of their figures. Wow. Although Hercules is a legend, especially because he is not only a superhero, but a god. I remember that conversation. See?
Right.
That's right.
Iron Man and Hulk, man, could they make any more of them?
No, they couldn't possibly. However, now that you bring it up, they have now done, in my opinion, the definitive Marvel Legends Hulk. I think I said this 2 weeks ago. The Marvel Icons Hulk, for those of you collecting Marvel Legends out there, the Marvel Icons Hulk, in either green or gray, my opinion, you should get both. That is the one to get. That is your Marvel Legends scaled Hulk figure.
And that's not too big? That's not like King Kong size?
No, he's perfect.
Okay.
Because the way he has always been drawn is that he is towering over the rest of the Avengers, right? So if this guy is supposed to go humongous from a normal-sized guy, this is your figure, my opinion.
Okay. I'll get it.
You got a Marvel Legends, Brian Lynch. What was your first Marvel Legends figure?
I got Longshot.
Nice. You got Longshot? Wait a minute.
Yeah, is that stupid?
No, they're out.
It's a great character.
No, I got it on eBay. Yeah.
Oh, so you bought it from, like, the Philippines.
I guess so. I don't know. But, man, they're not very good quality.
No?
No, I think – I've actually talked to someone that works at another toy company about this because I'm a raving dork. And
You're in the right place.
The last batch of Marvel Legends, I guess, aren't made the same way.
Okay.
So, like, if I wanted to go back and get the other ones, then they'd be fine.
So the Longshot figure, is that one of the last Toy Biz figures then?
No, it would be the second to last line.
Yeah,
the second to last line. Okay.
Because it's part of the Mojo build.
Okay, so
we refer to those as the build line. So that's a Mojo build, and following that will be the MODOK build.
So
that's the last line coming from Toy Biz.
The poor quality of the figure then probably could be attributed to the fact that Toy Biz is just trying to get the stuff out before they run out of time.
Probably,
exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
That and Jesse Falcon is an asshole. One of those two things is the reason.
The leg is even, like, it bends the wrong way. He looks double-jointed. It's really not good.
Oh, does he stand?
Oh, at the knee?
Yeah.
Oh, so he's got one of those double-jointed knee joints.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, we're actually looking at a picture of it right now.
Does he stand up on his own?
He doesn't look too bad in the picture. Does he come with the little knife things that he throws?
He comes with the knives, but they're stuck to it. Like, you can't take them out of his hand.
They're stuck in his hand?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it's not very good. It's not good.
I mean, that's the hand articulation is a pretty, like, specific piece of articulation for
the
Legends line.
That's a pretty decent staple for Marvel Legends, that they do all this articulation and they haven't been molding things in the hands. It really is molded into his hand, huh, Brian?
Oh, yeah, you can't take it out. It's painted silver, but it's the same piece of plastic as the hand.
Wow, that's a shame.
Well, talk about fucked up.
I was not happy about it. Not at all.
Longshot, a favorite character of yours, Brian? Is that why you chose him?
Is that sad? Yeah, he really is.
No,
I really like Art. Always been a fan of Art Adams and everything he did, so I kind of wanted it, and no, it's not very good.
That was a great miniseries. I'm glad they're doing Longshot. I'm glad I'm glad Mojo is the Build-A-Figure.
Yeah.
That Steve Irwin thing has got to stop.
Don't blame me. The spirit is among us. That's all I'm going to say.
Ew.
Hey, are there Steve Irwin figures?
Yeah, there's a whole line of Steve Irwin action figures.
They were just based on the show?
They were just based on Steve and his wife. They did They did one of Terry. They did like three or four of Steve.
Of course.
One he came with snakes. One I think was like a scuba one where he had a shark before we go anywhere. I think there was a shark in the package. And then Terry, they did one of Terry, I'm pretty sure, and then some other one of Steve in kind of a some sort of mining hat or something. Going underground.
So they kitchen sinked Steve Irwin?
Not really, because he actually appeared. He actually appeared in that outfit on the show. So no, it was not a kitchen sink.
Oh, good.
Was the baby son a accessory in one of the packs?
No, these would predate Baby Bob. They were probably right around the time. They probably came out right around the time Bindi was born.
Okay.
So, and they, I'm pretty sure they still sell them at the park. My ex-girlfriend went to his zoo in Australia a couple years ago, like 2 years ago, and apparently they stock them very well at the park. And they're really good. The likeness is great. They got a little sound chip in them. You get a little piece of Steve's soul in every one, which is really great. The Terry one doesn't look bad either. They were good. They were really good. Oh, great. Now we're in danger.
Right. Put it down.
What is it exactly that you guys are doing? I mean, I don't want to ruin the illusion that it's a ghost.
Don't worry. But... Don't worry, Brian. Anything you say that we don't like, we just cut out. The show is edited.
But I'm also taping it, and my new podcast.
Oh, yeah. Brian Lynch is uncensored.
Damn. Unrated, uncensored. Called Awesome Dudes Cool Things is what I'm working on.
Oh, really?
I thought it's pretty sweet.
I was pretty worried that we were going to end up as an angry naked Pat strip.
Maybe we could just animate this and we could have another like B-minus cartoon.
Wow.
You're not gonna really angry about that, aren't you?
No, I'm not at all. I'm playing with you. It's fun. We're having fun here.
We are having fun.
Why, Brian, are you going to get any more Marvel Legends or are you just going to stick with your lousy one?
You know, I got Century as well. It came a little later, but I didn't open it because what's the point? It looks better in the box.
Okay, wait. Slow down. Mm-hmm. Brian, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but there are four different Century figures, and two of which are correct. So I'm dying to know which one you got.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, he has a beard.
Has a beard.
And a costume is dark.
It's good. Okay, Brian, that is one of the two correct figures. The other correct answer would be no beard, bright yellow costume.
Right, and now that he has the beard because he's been in jail, his costume is dirty.
Right, exactly.
I get it. That should have come with a little Carnage ripped in half accessory. It would have been sweet.
Oh, that would have been sweet. I would have bought it just for the accessory then.
That would have been awesome.
Did you guys hear Bendis is mad about the Carnage Ultimate Carnage figure?
No, why?
I read an interview with him where he said that the dead Gwen Stacy accessory was insulting.
Oh, I thought that was a great accessory. It made that figure worthwhile.
I agree.
Well, I don't take a lot of credence from a man whose first two initials are BM.
You know my middle name, by the way?
No, what?
Michael.
Like I said.
Thanks. Wow. When I first started writing comics when I was little, and I make my own, I thought a cool writer's name was B.M. Lynch because I didn't know any better. And my parents had to take me aside and were like, no, you shouldn't do that.
Shouldn't use B.M.
What would you use if you wrote a comic? Would you use Big Kev or would you use your God-given name?
I would probably have to use Big Kev only because name recognition sells.
And now, would it be an adaptation of the radio show or the podcast?
No.
Like taking those characters? That'd be pretty sweet, though.
I don't know. We'll have to think about it. We actually have a cartoonist on board who's going to be doing some stuff for us in about a month or so. It should be interesting.
Oh, great. That's cool. You have to change Mr. Fantastic's name.
Why?
Because that's a character already.
No, we'll just spell it with a Y.
And a K. And a K. There you go.
I guess so.
And we'll
I guess
just
that
put
would
a,
work.
We'll put a 3 on his chest instead of a 4 because there's only 3 of us.
That's really good.
See?
That is or a copyright logo.
Or we could do that.
Nice.
Brian, Mr. Fantastic is telling us that our time with you is up.
An asshole.
So.
Well, thank you, guys. This was fun.
I always have a good time talking with you. You are a funny motherfucker, Brian Lynch. And
thank you very much.
Will you come on again when you're able to talk more freely about that DreamWorks project?
I would love to, whenever you guys want.
Excellent.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care, Brian.
Thanks a lot, okay, Brian.
Talk to you later.
Matt, in addition to all the great features already available on the home site, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, we have now created a forum so that fans of this show can listen and interact with each other.
Some of the forums include discussions about individual episodes, toys and action figures, comic books, TVs and movies, and other random bits of goodness that you may find online.
The fans of Geek Stuff can now interact with each other, talk about episodes, talk about things that we're discussing on the show, get their own opinions out there. Yeah. Now fans will be able to drop their show ideas right on the forum.
So check out the Geek Stuff forums by going to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and clicking on the forums link.
Yeah, let them fight amongst themselves. We got enough stuff to do. I like that song.
I like it too. It's a pretty song.
Very appropriate for our discussion of NBC's new superhero type show called Heroes.
All right, so let's get it out of the way. Do we all watch it?
Yes.
Yes.
I watched it.
Okay, good. Well, that's a good start. What do you guys think?
I know.
I think they kind of got that Lost vibe going on.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
They're trying to tap into the superhero genre,
mm-hmm.
but they're doing it in a very M. Night Shyamalan sort of way.
Yes.
But what I mean by that is an Unbreakable sort of way.
Yeah, I was actually talking to Angry Dan prior to tonight's show, and that's what he said. He said, is it kind of like Unbreakable and that, you know, that realistic feeling that Unbreakable had? And it does. I mean, the example that I could think of, and it's really kind of poor, but it's the only thing that pops into my mind, is what if the X-Men were real but less hokey? You know what
right.
I mean? It's because it's not as hokey as extreme. It's not as action oriented, at least not yet. It seems like it's definitely going to be more of a drama than action oriented show. But I liked it a lot. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I was very happy. I was. Obviously, we've known about this for quite some time, mm-hmm. because the media blitz started months and months and months.
Sure,
and
we
months
talked about it when it first came out.
And months and months and months ago. So we've been preparing for this for a long time, and I have to say that usually I don't like to build up expectations in my head. But I have to say that I didn't build up positive ones for this.
Neither did I.
And so when I watched it on Monday. Mm-hmm. Was it Monday or Sunday?
Monday.
When I watched it on Monday, I was pleasantly surprised.
I liked all the little snippet origins. I mean, that's really what it was. It was kind of an origins episode for these characters.
Well, origins in the sense, I don't think origins is exactly the right word. It's more like a little snippet of them coming into their powers. Because we don't really know where these powers are coming from.
That's true.
Per se.
And if anything, to be honest, that was the one problem that I had, that it seemed like they had the powers without any explanation. Now, I know they could go back time-wise prior to this and see, you know, what the origins are, but it was just weird seeing, say, the guy who teleports. He teleports to New York. You know, he just kind of, out of nowhere, decides that he can teleport. Maybe there's something more to it, but we weren't presented with it.
Well, I think that whole... Well, I don't think that we weren't presented with it at
all. I think we were, actually.
Yeah, I think they're hinting at the fact that
the Indian teacher.
Yeah, I think his father is researching some sort of phenomenon, and these people are that phenomenon. So the question is, what is the origin of this phenomenon? Is it simply that at this time, based on some sort of science, that man is taking the next step in evolution, and it just happens that it's all happening at once, and these people are the first group. I don't think that's exactly the explanation, but that they're certainly giving hints that that may be what's happening in some way or other.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right about that. I was kind of just, distracted by the fact that you start by being introduced to him and he's just trying to teleport. Why, you don't know.
Well, actually, at first he's trying to stop time or move time ahead because of his, I guess, the doldrum of his job. Right. And I thought they did a very good job of tying all those people together too, which is very interesting. Like whatever his company in Japan is working on that comic book that Ali Larder's kid is reading in that other scene, and they all sort of tie together a little bit.
Well, you know, by watching the scenes from next week's Heroes, that comic book seems to play a really big part in this show. At least the scenes kind of tease the fact that it does, because they show the Asian guy, Masai Oka, I think his name is. They show him on the cover of a future issue of the book. You know, so it kind of that this is where like the feeling of Lost seems like it's kind of tied in. Like these people are all interconnected somehow outside of the fact that they happen to be gaining these powers. And I guess that's how the show is going to develop and progress.
Yeah, clearly that's something that they do on purpose to say, you know, Lost was successful using this formula. We're going to try and do the same thing in a slightly different genre. That's the feeling that I got from watching it, at least.
And it would seem also that the bad guy, is some sort of representation of the government, some sort of government representative, or some, I'm sure it's going to end up being some secret underground operative level of the government that nobody knows about, some sort of black ops,
right?
That's supposed to deal with this phenomenon or something. And it turns out that he is the father or adoptive father of the cheerleader girl.
Claire, her name is Claire,
who is invincible, it would seem.
Mm-hmm.
She really does have basically Wolverine's regenerative power, if we're going to start comparing.
Sure.
She jumps off whatever it is, some 60-foot scaffolding, and she's all broken up, and she kind of just pushes her ribs back in and it just kind of closes up and puts her arm back and so on. She runs into the fire and so forth. And that's kind of her thing, is that whole regenerative.
How about healing factor?
Healing factor.
There you go.
So that's kind of her. And her adoptive father is this government guy who's in charge of this whole thing. So that's going to somehow come into play in all this as well.
I got a question for you. What do you think of the woman who has the small child who's doing internet peep shows as to get by? What do you think the slant on her power is? Because she walks around, she sees herself in the mirror, and it's kind of like she's talking to herself. You know, there's a otherworldly body talking to her that represents herself. But I couldn't really peg that to be like, you know, super speed, psychic versus, you know.
Yeah,
what,
I don't,
do you think that is?
I don't know where they're going with that, because right now it just seems like she's a nut. Who has multiple personalities.
But the manifestation of her powers was that she was being assaulted by these two guys.
Right.
And kind of either blacked out or wigged out some way. And she woke up and the guys were laying there bloody.
It's almost, it would seem, some sort of Mr. Hyde type, Jekyll and Hyde type of situation there. But they don't, I don't think they explained it enough, but I think further down the line, that's Ali Larder, by the way. We're going to get a further... a further explanation as to what that's all about, I guess, in some upcoming episodes.
I think my favorite character on the show, I think the most interesting so far, is actually the artist. I thought, even though he wasn't in it a whole lot, the portrayal of his character was really, really good. This is the guy who, he's painting all these things in kind of a blackout to his senses, and it turns out that what he's painting is actually a representation of the future, of what's going to happen.
Right.
And I think how they handle it, and him going crazy and going nuts and then ODing to get away from it, I thought that was great. I thought that was really played well. And I thought it was really kind of realistic.
Yeah, exactly. Played for realism there. It was very, very well done. And I guess, have we covered all of them so far? The only other ones I guess we covered are kind of, it would seem that they're kind of pointing as to the two brothers as some sort of pinnacle, because to me it seemed they spent a little more time on them than the rest. Maybe just to me, or maybe I just found that situation interesting.
No, you're right. The younger brother does seem to be the singular hero character or protagonist, even though everyone else is interesting in their own right.
Yeah, I guess we'll see how that plays out in future episodes. But what's the deal there? Because at the end, so he's having all these dreams that he can fly.
Right.
He goes to help out the painter dude and sees a painting of him flying. And he decides his brother is running for some sort of political office. And, of course, wants nothing to do with this his crazy brother because, you know, all this crazy. And he finally calls his brother, says, meet me in this place, calls him up. And he's on the top of this building, and he jumps off, presumably, to fly.
Right.
What I saw happen is that the brother, guy running for office, flew.
At the very least, the brother flies, yes.
Caught the brother who's not running for, I don't know what that character's name is.
The younger brother.
Yeah, the younger brother. Caught the younger brother, yeah. And what I found interesting there was, it seemed that the older brother is the one who can fly. But the younger, I didn't get the impression there that the younger brother could fly.
You know,
but they've always had, they made a very good point to say that they've always had this amazingly tight connection. Like, when he got hurt, I knew about it and so on. But they don't go on to say that they're twins. Are they twins?
They don't really look like twins.
I don't think
they're
twins.
And it looks like an older brother, younger brother.
Yeah.
I don't know, because my first impression was he doesn't really have powers. Maybe the painting was actually a depiction of him falling and not flying and all these sorts of things. But then, and I don't remember the exact line because I only watched it the one time. I haven't had a chance to go back and watch it a second time yet. But the impression that I got after them talking to each other was that there was some sort of co-flight going on. So I think they both definitely have the powers. Why the two of them share it and it seems like the other ones don't, I don't know.
There was a split second for me when I was watching that when I kind of jumped up and said, oh shit, he's the one who flies, meaning the older brother. And then I was somewhat disappointed in that I saw that they can actually both fly, because it really would have been...
No, see, I didn't get that impression at all.
I think they can, because it seemed like his body was flying out somewhat horizontally as well as the older brothers. They were both kind of equally spinning while holding hands. And yeah, I had that same feeling where you make that... I was kind of disappointed, because it would have been really cool to just see a huge letdown in the first episode and be introduced to another character instead, which... May going forward have been the
right, and the guy's kind of a douche.
Yeah, but not only that, but
the older brother.
That character is talking about how, you know, he says when he got out of bed that morning, his foot hovered off the ground a little bit longer than it normally would.
Yeah,
it seems like they're teasing the fact that he has a power. Maybe they didn't want to blatantly show it because we're already assuming.
Yeah,
and so they needed to reintroduce the brother or solidify the brother's position.
And there's one thing, one big thing for me that you would be missing. When the younger brother goes to visit the artist, the final painting that he sees, and it's kind of the hook going to the next episode, is a mushroom cloud over New York City.
Some sort of tragedy in New York City, yeah.
Well, what I read was something to the effect of these group of heroes form to end up saving the world. So I think... that's going to be the future they try to prevent. But everything that I'm looking at points to more of a mini-series type situation here than a long-run situation. So I don't know.
Okay, but it's like any other story. It's like any other comic book story in the sense, Matt, that this is the first story arc.
Right.
So if they're going to handle whatever that is by the end of this first story arc, then... who knows what could happen in the second story arc?
Are these
the only ones? I mean, maybe there's some Mr. Glasses out there,
if
I can reference Unbreakable again, and that they just don't know about them yet, or they're in other countries. Could be some, you know, some woman with a big plate in her lip over in Zimbabwe or something who's just brimming to be a bad guy, girl, and... I don't know.
No,
I mean, there's definitely
the
possibilities.
In fact, we already know that there are characters who were not introduced in this one that will be next week, according to the scenes.
Right.
Yeah.
So we have that to look forward to as well.
Well, I think Heroes is off to a good start.
I agree.
I think I don't know if I'm on board with you both about both of them flying, but I guess that's going to be settled out soon enough. And I guess we just have to wait wait and watch and see what happens. Maybe we'll revisit Heroes in a couple of weeks. And, you know, let's see where the first, you know, five or six take us. And then we'll bring it back and see if we can have some more ideas as to what direction they might be going in.
Sounds good to me.
Does it? Matt, is there a better online resource for action figure news and information than action-figure.com?
No. Actionfigure.com is the premier website.
Slow down. It's action-figure.com, Matt.
I'm sorry? Action-figure.com is the premier website for all your toy news, reviews, photos, and it's updated daily.
They have a great staff over there. They're great writers. They know what they're talking about. They answer questions that you want to have answered.
You aren't going to find a better source for action figure information on the web.
That's right. So point your internet browser to www.action-figure.com and go there today.
The Deadly Australian. G'day.
G'day.
Crossfire. Here we go again, adventuring. Where the wild, wild, wild creatures hang. We're gonna have a gorgeous.
G'day.
Don't muck with it. Very, very dangerous time, my friend.
Gorgeous, gorgeous. Yeah, a little weird.
From the land down under, the land of wonder, the man.
I don't know what to do about that.
Now it's starting to creep me out a little.
I told you. I'm a little scared.
Are you sure that the angle we took with this show from the beginning was the right angle?
I don't think so.
It's no longer appropriate.
What?
The name of the show.
I agree. I think Fantastic's onto something.
Okay.
Maybe we need to change the name of the show.
Maybe if we change the name of the show, Steve Irwin's ghost will be pleased with us and will leave us alone.
This is the worst hacky radio bit ever.
It really is.
Yeah, we're going to run with it.
But I do think it's something that Brian Lynch would agree with.
Well, let's hope so. I think we should give it some thought. Let's wrap up. What did we talk about today other than the ghost of Steve Irwin?
All right, we talked about Weta Digital being the effects company that's going to be working on the Silver Surfer for Fantastic Four 2. We also talked about Dimension Films acquiring the rights to do an adaptation of OCT, Image's book, Occult Crime Task Force, starring Rosario Dawson.
Created.
Yes.
By Rosario Dawson as well.
Yes.
Or co-created. In some way.
I also brought up the fact that there was an image leaked recently of another Transformer.
Right.
Which you can find online at Transformer World 2005. I think it's TWT World 2005, something like that, .com. You can find it.
Sure, you don't know exactly what the site is.
No, I don't actually. And
I talked about a couple of DVD releases to look for this week, including X3, The Little Mermaid out of the Disney Vault.
Yes.
And the unrated edition of Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, Guy Ritchie's first film, which is excellent, as well as the collector's limited edition numbered Greatest American Hero box set. Comes in a delightful tin, and I think it's going to be a nice item.
It's true. We also talked about the Muppet Matrix. You should go online and check that out. I thought it was kind of funny, kind of quirky, and, you know, I don't think you can do wrong with the Muppets for the most part. So,
we also talked about Marvel trying to squeeze out a preview, what really amounts to a preview book with five individual stories, although I did say four and then added one, is actually five stories, all of which feature characters that are going to be launched after Civil War. Mm-hmm. And they include Iron Fist, Ant-Man, Venom, U.S. Agent, and, of course, Howard the Duck. Marvel trying to sate the reader's disappointment with the gap that will come between Civil War and 5 is pushing this book on us. And I'm not pleased. I'm not pleased about it. Although it does look like I got a 50-50 shot of getting it with people like Mike Oeming and Phil Hester and a couple of these other fellas. I think a fairly good shot that I'm going to pick that up.
I got to say, I am slightly hurt in this whole what seems to be revelation that it may be U.S. Agent, because during the episode last week, I actually said that, not on mic, I'll give you that, I said out loud, it's U.S. Agent, and I was ignored. I know that maybe you didn't hear because you had headphones on and all, but it's those kind of things that does hurt me, I'm going to be honest, just being ignored.
I'm sorry, Fantastic, did you have something? Anyway, and then, of course, we leapt with both feet into the funny well with our guest, Brian Lynch.
What a great, great interview that was.
Yeah, he's a funny feller. He has a lot of stuff coming up, including a major, I'd like to say, major picture from DreamWorks that's coming, as well as some sort of horror comedy something for the CW. You can also check out Brian's work at angrynakedpat.com, where he does some funny stuff, B-minus funny, and also the book.
I highly recommend that you go and grab a copy of Spike Asylum Issue 1. It was a really good read. I think Brian does a great job of capturing the character of Spike, and I'm eager to see where he goes with it for the rest of the miniseries.
And, of course, Brian will be joining us again when he can talk more about those two upcoming projects that he really only could hint at with us.
Sure.
I'm very excited about that.
From there, we went into a discussion of Heroes, which premiered this past week on NBC. I think we all kind of liked it. I think we're all kind of interested in seeing where it goes. Maybe a little concerned that it could go funky, but I think we're all on board for now.
It's got a realism that was portrayed so well in M. Night Shyamalan's Unbreakable that we all enjoy. It's got some, albeit some familiar powers, but they're being presented in an interesting way. The performances are very good. The concept seems to be solid.
I got to say, I was slightly disappointed in the way the episode started, but intrigued by the way it ended, so I am looking forward. I'm going to give it an overall positive review.
Yeah, I think that lost vibe of what's going on, what's really going on, is kind of really going to push this forward. People seem to dig that these days.
It's true.
I don't think we've.
I think that's it.
I don't think we've dealt with the Steve Irwin thing enough.
Oh.
It's really starting to scare me.
It's been scaring me the entire episode.
I think we just need to rename the episode The Ghost of Steve Irwin.
Maybe
Ghost
Farewell to Steve Irwin?
Is Ghost... Oh, I don't know. Ooh.
I don't want to say Ghost. I don't know if that'll upset him.
I don't know. Maybe The Spirit of Steve Irwin?
I think The Spirit of Steve Irwin is a good...
But that doesn't really...
Nope. I think that's it. I think that would make
Steve... The Spirit of Steve Irwin?
Yep. I think Steve would be happy and honored, and hopefully he will leave us alone.
All right. We'll go with The Spirit of Steve Irwin.
Exactly. I think it's a good call.
You know, there's only one thing that can save you from being haunted by Steve Irwin at night.
What? Let me guess. Do I have to get a stingray barb and hang it on my door? Or
an upside down stingray barb.
Is that what it is? Is that what it is, Fantastic? Is that your little joke?
It's the Twilight Turtle.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Oh,